Not really. I'm just kidding about that. Daniel didn't even catch that. Daniel's preaching on Deuteronomy 8 tonight. And to be honest with you, there's a little payback that's needed here. Last Sunday, before I left for Ohio, I had my sermon all laid out for this morning on 2 Peter chapter 1. And I believe sometime during the day, Daniel snuck in and saw that, and he preached my sermon last Sunday morning. So I think it's only fair that I preach his sermon this morning. So, actually, we'll look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4. You can relax, Daniel. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Second Corinthians. It's right after 1 Corinthians, Bob. He's trying to help. No, Bob Bishop, not Bob Bryant. We have a lot of Bobs in our church. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. All right. Lord, what a joy to think about heaven. And Lord, to receive comfort from the blessed hope of the believer. And we thank you, Lord, that someday for every child of God, heaven will be a reality. And my, what a time that's going to be. But Lord, until then, we need your help. And Lord, we pray that you would anoint this time, that you would help in the preaching of the Word of God. Help me to say what you'd have me to say, the way you'd have it said. And I pray for every person who's listening, give them an open ear, an open heart, and Lord, help us that the message would be clear and be helpful to our lives even today. We do continue to pray for our pastor. God, do a work, a great work in his heart, in his soul, in his spirit. Renew him, restore him. Do a great work there, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Last week, I left here about 6 o'clock Monday morning and drove to Ohio to spend some time with my dad and my brother. For those that don't know, my dad was a pastor for many, many years. He started a church in Fortuna, California, and pastored there for 10 years. Then we moved to Redding, California, and he started a Christian school, was an assistant pastor there for several years. And when I turned 8 years old, we moved to Twin Falls, Idaho, and he took a church that was already going. They ran about 50 people, and over 17 years, God allowed him to build the church to about 450 people and start a large Christian school. Then they moved to Ohio, and he pastored there for many years also in a smaller church. My dad is now 89 years old. He'll be 90 in October if the Lord tarries, if he lives that long. And Dad has dementia. I'm not sure. I was there Monday through Thursday. I'm not sure if he knew who I was. I think maybe he did. He didn't ground me or anything, so probably he didn't remember who I was. My brother has the practice every morning of using the daily bread to have devotions with my dad and things that happened at breakfast as they do with older folks, and we didn't quite get that done. So Tuesday afternoon, my dad was laying on the couch. He sleeps most of the time, as folks do that age. And he was awake and alert, and I thought, well, let's have devotions. Or maybe my brother told me to have devotions. I can't remember. We had devotions. And I said, the passage is John 14. And he said, verse 6. And I thought, oh. I said, you know verse 6? He said, yes. And I began to quote verse 6. Jesus saith unto them, I am the, and he took over and quoted the rest of the verse. And I thought, wow. I mean, here's a man who can't hold a conversation, but he can quote John 14, 6. And I thought, I wonder if he could remember the hymns. And so we began to sing, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound, saved a wretch like me. And Dad started singing. It was kind of weak. When it went along, he got stronger and stronger, and he was off pitch, but as we went, better and better. We sang 14 or 15 songs. I recorded one. I was gonna play it to you, but you can see I don't need that. One of the songs we sang was the song we opened with. When the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. And we got to singing, and Dad said, Glory. And I thought, wow, that's the great hope of the believer. We get so focused on our problems and our situations in this world that we get distraught and discouraged and we faint. God doesn't want you to faint. God doesn't want me to faint. When my dad, my brother had my, is this on? Well, hallelujah. It says it's on. Someone's lying. This is number two. Numero two. It's all the Spanish I know. Numero. There it is. It's a miracle. Good. Thank you, Lynn. All right. So, before Lynn interrupted me, where was I? We just had a wonderful time. And my brother has him pray for the meals. And he gets started and he won't be able to finish. But he said, Lord, I pray for these young'uns that they will finish well. My brother said after he got done, which that, I think that's as far as he got, then we said amen and we ate. My brother said, thanks, Dad, for that compliment, these young'uns, you know. I'm 59, he's 61. But I thought, what a great prayer for your children. What a great prayer for every believer. That we would not faint. All right, let's switch them here. I tell you what, it's the devil. This doesn't work. We're going to punt. Thank you, Lynn. Every believer ought to finish the job and not faint. Sad matter of fact is there are a lot of believers, and you've met them. I've met them. Hey, we're from Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church, and we'd like to invite you to come to our church. Oh, I used to go to church, but the pastor, but the deacons, but so-and-so, but this happened, and they fainted. I don't want to faint, do you? I want to finish, and I want to finish strong. The Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 talks about this very thing. And if you're in 2 Corinthians 4, he starts out in verse 16, for which cause we, what are the next two words? Faint not. Faint not. And he goes on to say, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, they're temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. So this morning, here's the message. Don't faint. Write that down, Lynn. Don't faint. Now, the Apostle Paul is a man who said in verse number 16, for which cause we faint not. Paul said, I'm not going to faint. And then he's going to give us three ways, three things that keep him from fainting. Now, it's going to take us a while to get to that because we need to lay some groundwork. But when we end, I pray that you will say, here's what I can do to keep from fainting. So, number one, the call not to faint. The call not to faint. We've already seen it. By the way, we could say this is the call to endurance. It's the same thing. And many times we have a lack of endurance. How many of you are good starters? Good starters. You're great at starting things. Yeah. How many are good finishers? Okay, yeah, I thought so. When I was growing up, I used to do model cars. You know, and you open the box and you're so excited and there's 15,000 pieces in there. They're all attached to that little bar and you start ripping them off and you put them on there and oh, it's so exciting and you're going to make this model car. And then it gets kind of tedious and someone wants to play ball. And my closet was full of unfinished model cars. Now, to be honest with you, that hasn't really changed my life a whole lot. Probably none of you knew that I was a closet model unfinisher. Probably you didn't. It's not a big deal. But I tell you what, it's a big deal when a believer faints. When a believer doesn't endure. And Paul said, for this cause, I faint not. By the way, that same word is used throughout Scripture. Galatians 6:9 is a verse you know. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for a due season we shall reap if we faint not. And in 2 Timothy 3:13, we don't see that, but in the original the word is actually here twice. 2 Thessalonians 3:13. But ye, brethren, be not weary in well-doing. Don't faint. Now he said, for this cause, for which cause we faint not. Now your question ought to be, what cause are you talking about? Why shouldn't we faint? Well, we'll back up a verse, and we see in verse 15, Paul says, for all things are for your sake, that the abundant grace might, through the thanksgiving of many, redound to the glory of God. Let me give you a couple of reasons you shouldn't faint. You shouldn't faint for others. By the way, parents, this is true of you. What happens if you faint, parents, in the Christian work? What happens to your children? What about those that God wants you to reach? You see, the simple matter of fact is, Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, Paul said, of who he was chief. Christ came, his whole work was to save people from hell. And you're around people all the time at work, in your neighborhood, in your family. And God has called you to reach people who are lost, by the way. This is not a message to people who are not Christians, but I'll tell you, Jesus came, if you're not sure of heaven, Jesus came to save you, to take you to heaven, to forgive you of your sins. And I tell you what, folks, if you're not sure of heaven, you ought to come and receive Christ today before we're done here. But I'm talking to believers, and I tell you, folks, God has called you to do a work. David Wamper meets hundreds of people I'll never meet. Hundreds of people I'll never meet. Jess Phipps meets hundreds of people I'll never meet. And look, folks, God has put you there to reach those people for Jesus Christ. And if we faint, they'll never be reached. But look also in that verse. Not only, he says, it's for your sakes, but it's for the glory of God. Let me ask you a question. God has called you to glorify him. He's called you to give a proper reflection of who God is. What happens as a believer if I faint, if I quit? What view of God do I give? Look, if it's not good enough for me, why would they want it? Paul says, for this cause, I faint not. Let me ask you a question. Secondly, did Paul have things in his life that could have caused him to faint? Now, if you're saying no, you don't know Paul. Because secondly, I want to see the cause of fainting. Now, in this very passage, he gives some general things. Look in verse 8. Chapter 4 and verse 8. Here's Paul's testimony. He said, we are troubled on every side. That word is the word narrow or thronged. He said, we are in tight places. We are under extreme pressure. That's Paul's testimony. He goes on, he says, we're troubled on every side. He said, we are perplexed. That means at a loss. There's no way out. This is Paul speaking. He said, look, folks, I've got trouble. I am perplexed. Notice he says we're persecuted. You know what that word means? It's being hunted like an animal. Was Paul hunted like an animal? Oh, my soul. Everywhere they went, they were after him. They were after Paul. He was hunted like an animal. He was persecuted. He was cast down. How many of you are boxing fans? Any boxing fans here? I've never quite understood the sport. The whole point is to knock a guy senseless. I mean, doesn't seem like a great thing, but Paul said, look, I am cast down. That's a boxing term. That means he's been beaten and beaten and beaten, and he's laying on the mat, and the official is over him. I don't know, they call them umpires or referees or whatever they call them, and he's going, and I don't know if you go to 8 or 10, whichever it is. Some of you boxing people can educate me later on, but he said, that's where I am. So Paul, in general, is saying, folks, I want you to know I'm troubled on every side. He said, I've been perplexed. I'm persecuted. In verse 10, he says, I'm bearing in my body the dying of the Lord Jesus. You know what that means? There's a similar passage in Galatians 6:17 that says, I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. If you had taken Paul's coat off, I'd like to take mine off. It's burning up here, but I'll be nice. I'll do right. If you took Paul's coat off and you took and looked at his back, you know what you'd find? The marks, the stigmata, the beating over and over again. And I tell you what, if you looked at Paul's body, he could say, this is what they did in Philippi. Here's what they did in Ephesus. Here's what they did in Laodicea. He could go right down the line, folks, and show you the marks, the bruises, the cuts that he went through for Jesus Christ. Now, in this passage also, he says, I'm always delivered unto death. You know another phrase he used? He said, I die daily. You know what? Every time Paul went out, he was in danger of death. I'll be honest with you. I've done a lot of door-to-door. We're going to go on VBS canvassing. It's going to be great. You need to be there. We need 150 people to get the job done. Just a little promo in there. You know something? Let me just help you here. We've never had anybody die canvassing. We haven't. Now, we've had a few dog bites, but they lived. The dogs did. I've never gone to a door and said, I may die. This person may kill me. Never had that. Everywhere Paul went, he got up to preach. I'm sure he thought, this could be it. This may be my last message. Better be good. That's the kind of life he lived, folks. Serving God in danger of dying. Here's his description, but that's just in general. I want you to see a very specific passage. Now, hang with me, okay? I'm going somewhere with this, and hopefully you'll get this. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, just over a couple chapters to the right there. And here's a record of what Paul went through for Christ, a very specific record. Look at verse 22. I'm just going to read right through this and try not to stop, okay? 2 Corinthians 11, 22. He said, are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. In labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths oft. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. 5 times. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I've been in the deep. In journeys often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils by my own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness, beside those things that are without, which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Let me ask you a question. Anybody here have it worse than Paul? Please don't raise your hand. None of us do. None of us do. And those are just the things he suffered for Christ. That's not all the disease and the trials and the troubles that he went through. This is just what he did for Christ. And folks, we will never, none of us have ever come close to the trouble and the sufferings and the struggles that Paul went through. And yet, our third point, look at his confidence, back in his confidence against fainting in verse 16. For which cause we faint not. He said, look, folks, I want you to know something. I'm not going to faint. In fact, you can look back in verse 8. Back in verse 8. And remember, I left part of these verses out on purpose here. He said, we are troubled. We're in this tight place. But what? But what? We're not distressed. He said, we're in a tight place. It's bad. But we're not crushed by it. He said in verse 9, verse 8, we're perplexed. Boy, we don't know what to do, but guess what? No despair. No despair. Now remember, when reading this, folks, remember what he went through. He said, we're persecuted. I'm being hunted like an animal. But look at that, folks. He said, I'm persecuted, but I'm not what? Forsaken. By the way, there was a time when everybody forsook Paul. Let me read that to you, 2 Timothy 4:16 and 17. At my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. There may be a day when everybody forsakes you. But he goes on to say, notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me. He said, I'm not forsaken. Not forsaken. He goes on and he says, I'm cast down. Remember the guy on the mat? The count? He said, I'm forsaken. He said, I'm cast down, but I haven't been knocked out. I'm not destroyed. I'm not down for the count. I'm going to pop back up and go after him again. He said, I'm still going at it. Wow, what confidence. Now, here's the question. How could a man who endured all of that that we read about, and we could have read much more, how could he not faint? How could he keep going? How is it possible that someone who'd been through all of that just keep on going? How'd he do it? Because if it helps Paul, guess what? It's going to help me too. All right? It's in verse 17 and 18, or starting verse 16. Three things. Here it is. The reason for his confidence. Here it is. Verse 16. For which cause we faint not. Number one, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Here's the first way to do it. Focus on the spiritual, not the physical. You say, Gary, I don't want to faint. I want to keep going. All right, get your eyes off the physical and get them on the spiritual. Not the outward man, but the inward man. And look what he says. He said, look, I just want you to know something. He said, our outward man perish. Okay, how many would testify that your outward man is perishing? How many of you? If you're 50 or above, you ought to be raising your hand, all right? I tell you, you can eat the way you want to. I mean, eat right, okay? You can eat right. You can exercise. You can pamper your body. You can belong to every gym in the area and work out at every one of them. And you can take all the vitamins and the supplements. I've got bad news for you. You're still going to die. That's why I don't do any of that stuff. Okay? What good is it? I mean, you know, I have good friends. They take all kinds of vitamins. He had a heart attack. I even heard about this guy named Fix, of the runner. Died of a heart attack. I don't run. Don't do that. Running can kill you. Simple matter of fact is, folks, the body's falling apart. Okay? Parts are falling off. I've had a lot of parts fall off. My whole part fell off. I mean, folks, it's just these glasses, every time I go back, they have to get stronger and stronger. These eyes are decaying. This body's decaying. I don't remember things the way I used to. All too often, I have to ask my wife, what was that? I hope it's not a bad sign. I hope I'm not going down real quickly. But this body's decaying. Now, look, folks, if all you do in life is go around thinking about your body, you're going to be like Eeyore. No, nobody cares. My arm just fell off. Nobody cares. You know? I mean, how are you feeling? Some people you don't want to ask how they feel. They'll tell you. Well, my back is hurt. My leg is hurt. And that's their life. All they think about is, oh, oh, oh. What a sad way to go through life. Just focused on the physical. Now, I tell you what, if you want to get discouraged and despondent, just go home and think about how bad your body is. Okay? It won't take long. And before long, you'll be going, oh, I need drugs. I need something. Look, folks, our body is decaying. Paul said, look, verse 16. He said, our outward man perishes, yet the inward man, the spiritual man, is renewed day by day. Now, there's nothing wrong with exercise. I believe it, and I know it's hard to believe. I worked out twice this week on our elliptical. There is proof. I actually did that. I guess you could probably tell, but I tell you what, no matter what I do, this thing's going to decay. I better take care of the spiritual man. And what an idea, folks. Even though the body's falling apart, God is renewing my spiritual man. The word, by the way, could be translated renovating. I like that. You know, some of you guys watch that, all these shows where they buy houses and fix them up and flip and all that stuff, and they renovate all these houses. I want you to know something. If you're a child of God, that's what God wants to do in you. He wants to renovate, not your body, that's going to happen when you die, but he wants to renovate your spirit and renew you and make you. Listen to Ephesians 3:16, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man. Oh, that's what we need. Paul, how did you endure? Oh, my body's in bad shape. But the Spirit of God is working inside. And he's changing me. And by the way, there is some obligation for us, isn't there? Reading the Word of God, spending time in prayer. Oh, by the way, great verse on prayer, isn't there? He said, hey, you guys better pray so you won't faint. Yeah. Building up the inner man. I tell you what, folks, you say, well, Gary, you don't know how bad I have it. Now, here's the great thing. The worse you have it, the greater work God does. Listen to this. 2 Corinthians 12:10. Therefore, Paul says, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses. At about this time, we want to buy a white coat for that guy that ties in the back because something's not right with him. Why would anybody say, oh, wow, I like it when bad things happen? Never heard a preacher, something bad is going to happen to you. Okay, that's what Paul's saying. He said, boy, I like it when these things happen. Paul, why? For when I am weak, what happens? Then am I strong. And I want you to know, if you're weak today, God's strength will come and build up that inner man and strengthen the inner man. If you'll focus on that instead of on your physical problems, hallelujah, boy, you're well on your way to making it. Boy, we spend so much time on the outer guy, the outer man. Let me ask you a question. How much time this week did you spend on the inner man? Because the inner man, the part's going to live forever. Outer man's going to decay and fall apart. Paul said, look, I don't faint because I'm focused on the spiritual and not the physical. Let me give you two more quickly. Here we go, verse 17. For our light affliction, I'm amazed at that, aren't you? Now, if that was me writing the Bible, I could say that. But Paul, light, affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Secondly, not only focus on the spiritual, not the physical, but focus on the glory and not the affliction. Focus on the glory and not the affliction. Everybody has problems. Everybody has problems. Now, I know they're varied. Some are worse than others. Some of you have problems I can't even fathom. And I'm not minimizing the problem. But folks, if all you do in life is go around and focus on your problems, you're not going to make it. We've all got problems. And Paul said, look, folks, don't focus on the problem. He said, focus on the glory. And he said, if you'll focus on the glory, then you can say in verse 17, for our light affliction. What do you mean light? Compared to what? Compared to the glory. Oh, that was so exciting when my dad, when we sang that song and he ended up, glory. Hey, because that's what's coming. For a believer, it's glory. And listen to this verse in Romans chapter 8. Boy, this is something. Romans 8:18, he says, for I reckon, now that's an accounting term. He said, I put stuff on the right hand and stuff on the left. He said, I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not even worthy to be compared to the glory which shall be revealed in us. He's saying, you take some balances and you put all the cares of this world in one and you put the glory in the other. And what's going to happen? Not even worthy to be compared. The glory is so great. Oh, I've often thought, I mean, in the ministry, you meet all kinds of people with all kinds of problems. And Paul said, I want you to know, no matter what you go through, doesn't compare to glory. I mean, the glory is so great it makes these things light, like fluffy nothing. Can you think of your problems like that? Fluffy nothing? That's what he's saying. But he's saying that because he's focused on the glory. Hey, if the glory so far outweighs the affliction, what must the glory be like? Wow. Focus on the glory, not the affliction. By the way, that's exactly what Moses did, isn't it? By the way, let me give you the third one. My time is gone. Verse 18. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Focus on the spiritual, not the physical. Focus on the glory, not the affliction. Focus on the eternal, not the temporal. Focus on the eternal, not the temporal. We have to take care of the temporal, don't we? You need clothes, you need shelter, you need food, you need water. But to be honest with you, most of the time, all that stuff consumes us. Paul said, no. He said, I'm going to focus on things that are eternal, the unseen world, on God and Him and His reward and heaven and all those things. That's going to be my focus. And that's what Moses said in Hebrews 11:27. He said, by faith, Moses forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured. How? As seeing him who is invisible. Invisible. That's the answer. In Hebrews 12:2-3, this is on our webpage, looking where? Unto your problems. Looking at your body. Looking at everything. No, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him, look at him, that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. You know, really, it's pretty simple. Do you want to make it? Do you want to finish well? Well, I do. I don't want to wash out. I want to finish well. Paul said, the key is your focus. The key is your focus. Don't focus on the physical. Focus on the spiritual. Don't focus on the affliction, the problem. Focus on the coming glory. We sang, it will be worth it all. What were we doing? We were focusing on the glory. And finally, focus on the eternal, not the temporal. We'll do those things, folks. Paul said, because of that, I didn't faint. And we can have the very same testimony. We'll focus on things that are eternal, on the spiritual, on the glory. We can keep going. We can keep going. Let's pray. Lord, we do thank you for your word this morning. We thank you for the great truths of this passage. And Lord, only you know the hearts and minds and need of people here this morning. We're asking you, Lord, to do a mighty work in hearts and lives. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. I know most of you, some of you I do not know. This was not a salvation message per se. But I do want you to know, if you're not sure of heaven, Jesus Christ died for you to pay for your sins so you go to heaven someday. And you can receive Christ today. If you'll receive him, he'll receive you. Give you a home in heaven for all eternity. I wonder this morning if there might be one that said, Gary, I'm not sure of heaven. I'm not sure if I died I'd go to heaven, but I sure would like to be sure. I'm not going to come to you, won't embarrass you, but love to pray for you. Say, Gary, I'm not sure of heaven, but I'd like to be. Would you just slip up your hand? Just hold it there for a moment. Put it right back down. Let me talk to you believers. And that's where we focus today. I wonder how many feel like you're starting to faint. And as you see and heard today, you realize it's an issue of focus. And right now, you're making commitment to put your eyes where they ought to be, on the Lord Jesus Christ, on the eternal, on the glory, on the inner man. God has spoken to your heart this morning, and with the Lord's help, you're going to change that focus. We'd love to pray for you. If you're saying that in your heart, would you just slip up your hand and put it back down? I see that hand, that hand, that hand, that hand. Yes, I see that hand. Others that would join these. I'm about to faint, but I'm going to turn my eyes on Jesus and look full in his wonderful face. Anyone to join these? Lord, we do thank you for these who've raised their hands. Pray that you would bless and work in the invitation time. In Jesus' name, amen. In a moment, the ladies are going to pray. Let's just play that last hymn. It's 165, When We See Christ. If you raised your hand or if you didn't raise your hand, this is your opportunity to come and get with the Lord and change your focus. Get it off the problem, get it on the Lord. And if you come to the altar and need help, we'll have somebody be glad to pray with you and deal with you. Let's all stand together. Let's do this. Let's bow our heads, keep our eyes closed. If you need to come as they play, you come on, spend time with the Lord. We can help you, let us know. Look this way. Let's sing that chorus. It will be worth it all. It will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Life's trials will seem so small when we see Christ. One glimpse of you to take a seat for just a moment. You've had a lot of statements read, and I feel left out. I want to read one too. Being raised in a pastor's home, I came to an early realization that I needed to be saved. My mother, who's in heaven now, led me to Christ in October of 1965. In the fourth grade, I surrendered my life to serve the Lord in the ministry, and God put within my heart a desire to pastor. And so I attended Bob Jones University and got my undergraduate degree in Bible and my master's degree in pastoral studies to prepare to pastor. 35 years ago, I met Preacher Lashley, and that changed my wife and I's life dramatically. We came to Buffalo Ridge as the youth and music man. My plan was to stay a few years and find a church to pastor. And over the last 35 years, there's been four or five times when we tried to leave Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church and go to pastor. But though we talked seriously with several churches, it just never came to fruition until now. A year ago, I met with Pastor Jody and told him that once again I was going to start looking for a church to pastor. I'm 59 years old, and it's now or never. We talked to four or five churches, but again, nothing really worked out until last week. In March, we went on vacation to Florida to visit Joe and Sarah. And while I was there, the pastor asked me to preach several times and to sing and to lead the choir and to do congregational work. And so we did that. Their music pastor, minister had left, and they wanted to replace him. And the pastor who'd been there is 76 years old, is looking to retire in the near future and looking for someone to replace him. In May, they had us come back, and we officially candidated at Winkler Road Baptist Church. Met with the board, preached both services, and sang a solo. Pastor Jody was aware of all of this. Once pastor has been on leave, I've been talking with several of the deacons and the officers, keeping them up to date. I did ask the pastor to not make anything public till we knew something was going to happen, because my first concern was my ministry here to this church family. I also asked pastor if he'd allow me to announce it once it was finalized. Last Sunday night, Winkler Road Baptist Church voted to call me to become part of their pastoral staff. We have accepted the call, plan to move the first week of July. I'll be going in as assistant, leading the music and preaching on Sunday nights, with the plan that when the pastor retires, they would consider me for pastor. We've been working very hard to make this transition as easy as possible. I've made a list of my duties. It's about this long. And now I've lost my place. You shouldn't have done that to me. And I've already been talking to our staff and deacon officers about transferring those duties to others, and you'll hear more about that tonight. My wife and I love Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. We've enjoyed a wonderful ministry here and have made many lifelong friends. As you can tell, it's going to be hard to leave, but this is God's will for our life. As I said in Sunday school, God closes doors and he opens doors, and this is an open door, and we must go through it. Most assistant pastors stayed at church for a few years, but God has allowed us to stay for 35 years. We've been blessed. Let me close by quoting two verses, or reading two verses that have really ministered to me during this time. In 2 Samuel 22:31, David said, "As for God, his way is perfect." It's wonderful that God is still on the throne and everything he does is perfect. But in verse 33, it becomes even more personal, for David says, "And he maketh my way perfect." Though there are many things we don't understand, we need to remember that through all this, God's way is perfect. And we will submit to him and do his will. He'll make our way perfect. Let's pray. Lord, we love you. And we thank you that you're a great God. You are a sovereign God. A God who knows all things, a God who loves us, a God who has a plan for our life. And Lord, our desire is to do the will of God. And I pray, as this transition is made, that both churches would be blessed and would go forward for you, and great things would be done. Give our deacons wisdom. They're already dealing with a great deal. Give them wisdom in this transition also. And the Lord bless and work and help us to be what you want us to be. And someday, in glory. We'll say it was worth it all. Amen. Amen. Amen.